and he shall put to ruin those ruining the earth. Revelations 11:18, which is a quote and scripture that certainly describes what will happen to Bill Gates when God's reckoning comes for him and those like him who have been defiling the earth and the natural rhythms put in place throughout creation by He who makes all things come to be. This encompasses food production and the modification of said food chain by genetic tampering and experimentation without any moral or ethical qualms. Gates has had a hand in the dissemination of various items around the world that were supposed to help people, especially in Africa, but instead left hundreds of thousands, even millions dead in the wake of the administration of said vaccines. His healing works in conjunction with the World Health Organization, WHO, greatly reduced the numbers of the older populations who were in those countries. When we look in current times, 2019 to 2022, we see that the effects of COVID-19, Omicron and other variants, we are witnessing an onslaught of plague on plague, stressing and exhausting people, not leaving any room for recovery, before the next thing comes. If we look at the effects of the vaccination programs in Africa by Gates-sponsored minions and the impact of the pandemic on populations globally, we will see a pattern of winnowing and reducing the numbers of older ones or elders in all these affected areas. The implications of this are starkly clear. When you reduce or eliminate the older members of a population, you are erasing the total collective memory and knowledge of that particular group. This is devastating because in circumstances like these, all you have left are inexperienced young people and children who are left to fend for themselves, open to the ideas and influence of any outside entity seeking to render guidance and help in the tragic situation that has befallen their parents and elders in the community. Why they will even come and dig up the land, and take away some of those minerals and stones in the earth you don't need. Of course, most of the teenagers and young ones are still in grief and mourning about losing their vital familial/ancestral connections before their time, so they may not notice certain things out of place or suspicious. However, there are always some who take note. The vigilant, the bright, the intuitive. They will raise the alarm, but because they are smaller in number, especially with the eradication of the older population, they are more easily picked off and isolated. When next you look, your entire land has been taken to be exploited by strangers and in all likelihood enemies. So in all of these horrifying projections and nightmare scenarios, where does Bill Gates factor in? Number one, he is a key instigator and funder of many of these events. Note, he is not the only one who is ruining people and the earth. However, he is a key and prominent one in this equation. When thinking about who is Bill Gates, you have to know and remember one pertinent point. Gates is a eugenicist, descended from a family of eugenicists from the earlier founding of this discipline. Some of you will say, hold up. What the heck? We already know a great deal of you are not going to say what the heck, just bear with me, is a eugenicist? Eugenics is, according to the Oxford Language Dictionary, the study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of habitable characteristics regarded as desirable. Developed largely by Sir Francis Galton as a method of improving the human race, eugenics was increasingly discredited as unscientific and racially biased during the 20th century, especially after the adoption of its doctrines by the Nazis in order to justify their treatment of Jews, disabled people, and other minority groups. That is the dictionary definition of eugenics, and a eugenicist is one who believes and practices the precepts associated with that 19th century pseudoscience. So Bill Gates and his wife Melinda are high priest and priestess of that pseudoscientific belief system. Accompanying this adherence to eugenics theory is a pathological fear, hatred, and condescension for those who are not coded to fit the definition of what is white. This list of non-white mongrel peoples would include black people who were cultivated here in North America, primarily USA, South America, epicenter Brazil, the Caribbean island basin with Jamaica, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Santo Domingo, and other black peoples around the globe, like the so-called Aborigines of Australia, the Maori of Hawaii and other Polynesian islands, Asians including Chinese, Japanese, and subcontinental Asians such as Indians, Pakistanis, and others who do not fit the rigid and unscientific definition according to a Nordic European phenotype. The other thing to consider is that eugenics as a discipline designed to support, enable, and give justification to the concept of white supremacy, and the 19th century myth of the white man's burden. This was the conceit that all of the darker races were beholden to the generosity and largesse of the superior white man and they would be left in the ignorance of their own, the so-called darker races, dark and benighted ways, forever languishing in their own utter ineptitude. This was of course a flawed and false narrative of the darker people's reality because many of these groups of darker humans had cultures and civilizations that socially, aesthetically, and morally outstripped European societal realities in many ways despite the disparity in weapons upon their initial encounters with these people. In fact, it was the avarice of the Europeans in their lust for wealth and goods that precipitated the transatlantic slave trade which devastated the African continent in ways that persist to this very day. It must be stated that this was accomplished with the complicity of various African nation-states and tribes who essentially betrayed their neighbors, family, and people for the sake of wealth and profit. This betrayal led to opportunity for Europeans to the development of odious theories, concepts, and disciplines such as eugenics. These practices and beliefs were developed to justify their rapacious greed and to reconcile what the European holy texts such as the Bible said was wrong in enslaving other humans in such a cruel and terrible manner. So through white supremacy, dehumanization of African people and other peoples in the world by default began in the early 15th century and continues to this day. This led to eugenics, psychology, psychiatry, and anthropology being developed as sciences to justify, qualify, and quantify the marginalization of other members of the human family who were not white Nordic or Aryan in their physical aspect. It needs to be stated that while some of the other scientific disciplines such as psychology, psychiatry, and anthropology have managed to sanitize their origins and modify some of their earlier precepts to achieve a level of normalization and status in current human society, never be in doubt that development and formation of these ideas came out of the same cultural, societal, and racial biases that allowed white supremacy to grow and fester into the malignant societal cancer we must contend with today. This is also a caution about how disciplines and ways of inquiries manifest. They grow out of the cultural and theological framework that societies develop, even before moving to a state of empirical examination. Those rules and doctrines inform how you move as a people or society. This is a primary reason why eugenics as a discipline couldn't make the transition of sanitization that the others did. It was too wrought with undertones and overtones of white supremacy to shake its unsavory origins. Even though it has made it this far to survive as nominal discipline, its sordid past and history make it anathema to higher aspiring members of the scientific community. When looking at the history of eugenics in the early 20th century, we see it as the basis for the extermination of the Jews in the gas ovens and concentration camps of Nazi Germany. We view eugenics through the lens of the horrific inhuman experiments performed by Josef Mengele, the doctor of death at Auschwitz, Buchenwald, Treblinka, and all the other death camps of misery and mutilation. The effects of eugenics theory and practice are visible during the late decades of the 20th century by the numbers of black and brown women who were involuntarily sterilized without their permission during routine hospital visits for gynecological upkeep by doctors who are sympathetic to eugenics thought and philosophy. One of the issues of the day is this discussion of choice for abortion. At all levels of society, this is the overriding question of a woman having choice over what happens with her body. But let me ask you this. Did those black and brown women who were involuntarily sterilized or had their tubes tied without their knowledge have a choice? Did they have the option of whether or not they could have a child? No. Choice was taken away from them by the eugenicists who didn't even respect these women enough to let them know what was being done to them. These eugenics people took away these women's rights of whether they could have a family or not. This is why eugenicists are so dangerous to every living human being and other organisms on this planet. They arbitrarily think they can do what they want to people and environments as long as it serves their twisted purpose without any consequences. One of the consequences that was unexpected for eugenicists of the extreme white supremacists/extermination mindset is that in their zeal to limit and probably eliminate black and brown populations, they inadvertently started the process of decline for their own population numbers. The founding of organizations like Planned Parenthood by Margaret Sanger was conceived as a eugenicist Trojan horse to limit, monitor, guide, and control the numbers of black and brown babies coming into existence under the guise of population control, which is one of their open and transparent tenets, and abortions were one of the tools used to accomplish this culling and pruning. One of the other ways was educating people that they should have less children and adhere to the nuclear family standard of 1.5 or 2.0 children at the maximum. The practical reason for this change of family size, especially in the United States, was in the transition from the 19th to the 20th century. This country was rapidly transforming from a primarily agrarian society and economy to a quickly emerging industrial society and economy. Whereas in an agrarian farm-based society, having many children was an asset to work the land, with acres and acres to cover, in the industrialized cities where most of the industry was centered, it was a liability to have large families. This was due to crowded and unsanitary living and working conditions within the cities, very limited housing stock, and in the early 20th century, the finite amount of positions that were available for people to work in an industrial setting. Even in the early days of the Industrial Revolution, automation and the elimination of excess human labor for faster results and cheaper labor, unlike slave labor, was always the ultimate goal. Thus, in this environment, insidious organizations like Planned Parenthood could enact their sinister eugenicist agenda under the guise of benign societal intervention. You had during this period massive Eastern European and Irish immigration to this country. You had the Slavic peoples, Polish immigrants, Italians, Sicilians, Romanians, Gypsies, Russians, Greeks, Turks, Slovakians, and Irish immigrants. Even though many of these people are considered nominally white today, back in those days they were considered the swarthy, strange, Southern Europeans with the strange accents, languages, customs, and ways that greatly differed from those white Americans who were primarily of English, Scottish, German, French, Scandinavian, and Dutch ancestry. The Northern Europeans. In an interesting bit of irony, though the Irish had been here almost since the inception of this place called the United States, and they were part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, possessing many of the physical characteristics of what would be considered Northern European white, they were never considered white or treated as such until the early 20th century in the major urban centers such as New York, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Newark, where they monopolized positions on fledgling police departments that were emerging in this country to address some of the issues mentioned earlier in this essay. The fact that there were literally signs littered across this country with words like "no niggers," "dogs," or "Irish allowed" didn't endear them to the Negro. Not the fault of the Negro, nativist white Americans put those prohibitions and strictures in place. They were listed below the dog in this country. They were also employed as overseers on the plantations in large numbers during the enslavement period. They were the prime fugitive slave hunters and patrollers, paddy rollers, who tracked down runaway enslaved African heritage people, dragging them chained, crying, kicking, screaming, weeping, and fighting back into the bowels of slavery. When the first formal 20th century police departments started, many of the former fugitive slave catchers flocked to their ranks, establishing an intimate link between the old fugitive slave hunters and slave patrollers of old to the modern-day police forces throughout this country. It stands to reason that this historic connection could very well be the source of the mutual antagonisms between the police and the African-American community to this day. This is especially true if the tactics and mindsets employed in antebellum days have largely been transferred down to contemporary police departments without any overhaul of racist mindsets, tactics, and philosophies carried over from a brutal and horrific period in Black people's history. This historic background of the police and the Irish, the great immigration of Southern Europeans in the early 20th century, and the advent of Planned Parenthood, founded as the American Birth Control League in 1921 by Margaret Sanger, along with like organizations, is critical to our understanding of Bill Gates as a eugenicist. The conflicting forces of immigration and the emergence of police took some of the focus off black people and split that focus on the incoming swarthy horde from Southern Europe. So some of the tactics that would have been massed against black folk were diverted to the new populations in the urban centers of the eastern U.S. There was a full court press on these populations with these eugenics theories and practices for a full generation until the emergence of a more Americanized second group, the new immigrants' children. There was a slow admittance of them into American society, even the granting of a nominal status of whiteness to those who assimilated enough by anglicizing their strange and foreign-sounding East European names. In the meantime, and I literally underscore the mean and times for black folk in the South, there was a retrenchment of old Confederate values and mores that harken back to the Compromise of 1877, where all the troops were pulled out of the South, signaling the end of the first Reconstruction. This also coincided with the rise of the Ku Klux Klan, which reached its zenith around the early 1920s with an estimated membership of about 5 million individuals by 1925. So while the Great Immigration was in effect with scores of Eastern Europeans flooding the entry points of Ellis Island not far from the Statue of Liberty, it was a time of terror, repression, and frenzy for black people in the South. Lynching and Jim Crow segregation were the orders of the day. Lynching was considered a national pastime, and families attended these barbarous gatherings where the trophies often taken from those who were unfortunate enough to get caught and ambushed by the criminal mobs, fingers, toes, teeth, and of course penises and testicles, which were often pickled, put in jars and displayed on mantels and fireplaces across many homes in Dixie and beyond. This grisly and horrific treatment of black people by resurgent and vicious groups of southern whites led to a concurrent movement of traumatized African heritage peoples fleeing the Southlands, heading east, north, northeast, and west in an epoch that would be historically named the Great Migration. This was where tens of millions of black people evacuated the troubled killing fields of Dixie to the safer cities of the Northeast, Midwest, and the West Coast, causing a major demographic shift in the country of where blacks, as opposed to living in the South, now occupied northern and western urban areas in the USA. Prior to the advent of the Great Migration, the population of blacks to whites was almost equal. At the end of the war between the states in 1865, it was estimated the population ratio of blacks to whites was 5 million white to 4 million blacks, which in statistical terms was almost even. The virulence of white citizens' councils fueling the venom and coffers of the Klan and Klan-like terror cells, there was no protection for the newly liberated freedmen and their families. The troops were withdrawn and reassigned to other posts across the country. The capitulation of 1877 by pro-South scalawag politician Andrew Johnson, elevated to the position of president due to the murder of Abraham Lincoln, left a newly liberated, unenfranchised, economically compromised folk at the not-so-tender mercies of the ravening wolves in the South. Historical events cited in the earlier entries of this essay show that historical events and forces that shaped the eugenicist mindset, and what makes Bill Gates so dangerous to entire populations of people around the world. Because he has amassed an impressive amount due to his Microsoft Corporation, he has the access and finances to enact the darkest impulses of the eugenicist agenda upon large segments of population centers across the globe. In 2020, we had the onslaught of the coronavirus, now formally referred to as COVID-19. Colloquially, it is referred to as the Rona. This is especially the case in the black community. Bill Gates has also ventured into the realm of Frankenstein. It is no longer the alleged genetic salvation of the white race by eugenicist thought and action. It has now branched out into the area of genetic experimentation to find out where the combinations will go and to see what will happen. Pure mad scientist stuff. He used genetic alterations on mosquitoes in Brazil to supposedly combat yellow fever. The effect of that experiment was newly born human infants having deformities of oversized and shrunken heads coming out of the womb. It is a terrible and harrowing situation. Also not surprising is his acquisition of the Mangrove Company, which is one of the largest producers of lithium batteries in the world. This is to seize control of the vital lithium interests to monopolize the computer industry's resources so that the Mangrove Company control solely reverts to him. Control of the means of production for lithium batteries would render the entire industry at his mercy. All who create products that need lithium batteries would be beholden to Gates, leaving him unencumbered in his pursuit of the God complex. Ruler of all he surveys. In the Bible, wasn't that the deal Satan the devil tried to offer Jesus if he would do an act of worship to him? Of course, Jesus immediately turned him down and said such devotion and worship was reserved for God alone. Do you think power-hungry, greedy Bill Gates thinks that? With his personal God complex, do you think he would turn the devil down, or is he rushing to embrace him whole heart and soul? Based on his past and recent moves, especially with the vaccines that he used to decimate Africa's adult population under the guise of inoculation against malaria and other ills around the continent, you can clearly see whose allegiance he goes with, the devil, and why it is clear and present danger to the earth. If that isn't enough data, he wants to create a shield or enclosure around the earth using nanobots to block the life-giving rays of the sun. This enclosure would have nanotech using a kind of dark matter which would absorb and block the sun, essentially giving him control of the sun. In fact, he would control the amount of sunshine and light we would receive on his capricious whim. God complex. Clear and present danger. To humanity and all the earth. Ruining the earth. Because you know from his locusts experiments something always goes wrong. He also described in great specificity what the impact and direct effect these plagues and viruses would have on people. The hallowed President Barack Obama was present at this conference. Now the question comes up, how could he make such chillingly accurate predictions about a plague's effect and timeframes of arrival, unless you had prior knowledge of the plague or virus's potential outcomes or conditions, because you were involved in the planning and implementation of said viruses? Gates also stated that there would be multiple variants, along with mutating strains that would be resistant to any treatments or safeguards that have been devised. Does that sound like Omicron, anyone? Then there is his involvement with Monsanto and the agribusiness focus on buying up all the land from domestic farmers, undercut their rates and prices, force them out of business, then they are compelled to see for pennies on the dollar to agribusiness behemoths like Monsanto, monopolizing the food and produce creation into the control of the very few, giving them effective oversight and distribution of the food chain in this country. This stranglehold on production and dissemination of foodstuffs allows for the introduction of GMO, genetically modified organisms, into the food supply, effectively changing and altering the very nature of what it means to be human. Now, this wasn't the eugenicists' original aim as an individual or organization. Their main objective was to ensure that the white race maintained primacy or supremacy on the global stage. However, what has occurred over the space of 7 decades are those unforeseen consequences that eugenicists have feared. The combination of low birth and fertility rates, the invention of the birth control pill, white women's desire to escape from the clutches of white male patriarchy, the rise and outing of homosexuality and lesbianism, abortion, interracial marriages, and the modern advent of societal changes and morals have impacted white people critically globally in that they are below zero population growth. As older white folks die off, they don't have the numbers of white babies being born to replace them. These unforeseen consequences of eugenics theories like forced sterilization, tube tying, birth control, and safe unfettered abortions were eagerly embraced by white women who wanted control of their bodies and freedom from white male patriarchy. The realization of this had white people in a state of panic and fear. Their so-called champions in the world of eugenics are losing their minds and pulling out their hair. If they have any. In their desperation, they have made certain alliances with those in the field of genetics, concocting apocalyptic scenarios to reduce the numbers of other racial groupings and phenotypes, such as food control with Monsanto, biochemical warfare, the proliferation of drugs on ethnic communities, the insertion of artificial retroviruses within the populations of targeted communities to initiate widespread death and fear into those demographic groups. This fear had been evident and omnipresent for years. In the 1990s, Newsweek magazine printed an annual special issue around March for years. Its focus was always race in America. The emphasis would change from year to year, but the issue always sold out at newsstands and bookstores around the country. Even Time magazine did a couple of features called The Changing Complexion of America. Frankly, those few articles that Time printed, trying to jump on the Newsweek gravy train, probably scared white people even more than race did. Changing complexion of America was in your face. And it was fading. Dr. Frances Cress-Welsing, in her book The ISIS Papers, states that white people have an innate fear of genetic annihilation, coupled with their collective cruelty and carnage on the non-white population of the world, have many of them living in constant fear of vengeance and retaliation from the darker people of the world. Thus they spawn theories and systems such as eugenics, which wind up backfiring upon them. There are ample cautionary tales against the practice of eugenics in fiction, fantasy, and science fiction. One of the most prominent cautions comes from Star Trek. In the Trek universe, there is the eugenics wars, which morphs and escalates into World War III, which almost destroys humanity. Recovery from that devastation led to the creation of an enlightened society that reached out to the stars and created the United Federation of Planets. However, they also put a ban on eugenics and the genetic experimentation that almost led to total destruction of Earth and humanity. You have warning signs from all quarters that this is not an avenue you should take, lest you risk totally ruining the Earth. The recent comments by primary winner Mary Miller in the Illinois race for Congress says it all. This is a victory for white babies. Of course, she said she misspoke or was misquoted, but it is consistent with her remarks uttered on June 24 after the SCOTUS ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. She proclaimed, "This is a victory for white life." So she is very clear with who and what she is about. And honestly, if white people want to get together to procreate for white babies, more power to them. But they are not going to do it at the expense of hard-earned rights by black people and others to have human rights and equal rights in this country. Have your babies, be a happy family, but it is not coming at our expense on the altar of white supremacy. That action will be dead on arrival. Statements and sentiments like that of Mary Miller and her cohort Lauren Boebert of Colorado are what powers the will of true believer eugenicists like Bill and Melinda Gates. They also open the doors for lying, unhinged, demagogues like Donald Trump to create chaos and confusion. This is why Bill Gates and his eugenics agenda must be stopped. They are a clear and present danger to everyone on the planet, and they fund and enable dangerous people like the erratic former President of the United States Trump to cause constitutional crises and foment mindless insurrections.